So I've been working. Obviously, I've been working on it. The title for this message that I came up with is Cover Up or Clean Up. And we're going to be in 1 John. So that's almost at the very end of the Bible. If you have your Bible with you, like there's 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John. This guy that we're pretty sure his name was John, the elder, he wrote these three letters of instructions. We're going to be there, 1 John chapter 1. But we're going to be talking about covering up or cleaning up. And growing up, there was a typical way we talked about cleaning up our lives that I am not talking about today. So just want you to know ahead of time, when I say clean up, what we used to say was, and I remember this, sometimes when people would come to the altar and say, I want God to forgive me for my sins. I remember people praying at the altar and then someone next to them saying, okay, well now that you're a Christian, you need to stop doing bam, 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 bam. Like the Nazarene things have been like, don't use tobacco, don't drink alcohol. Those are the biggies. So if somebody smoked and they came to the pray, I remember people sitting there next to him, all right, well now you've got to stop doing whatever. I'm not talking today about when we clean up our lives, here's a list of things that you have to stop doing. It's not at all what I mean today. So if that's an initial fear when I say clean up your life, that's not where I'm going. We're going to see something a little bit different. But today's title is Cover Up or Clean Up. What are we trying to do with our lives? We're going to be in 1 John chapter 1. That's close. 1 John chapter 1. That was my fault, so it's all right. And we're going to see that the best way to deal with the sin in our lives is to ask God to remove it. That's the best way to deal with sin in our lives. And instead of trying to hide this sin, instead of trying to hide it, I can ask God to help me replace the sin with his plan. So God, here's the sin in my life. I want you to replace this sin with your plan. By the end of the message today, that's where I want us to be. God, here's the sin in my life. Will you take it and replace it with your plan? That's where we're going. But first, have you ever had days where you just thought you smelled bad? And really, days like today are a great example. So it's cold in the morning. You put a sweater on or a hoodie with nothing underneath it. I've done this before. So you put on this hoodie. I wear t-shirts now. I've learned. But you put something on and you're warm when it's 35 degrees outside at 9 in the morning. But you're still out at noon and the sun's been out and it warms up and then you're out and you realize, I'm warm. Or maybe you're at work and it was cold and you got dressed for cold and then you get to work and about a half an hour into it, you realize, I'm not cold anymore, I'm warm. But you still have that nice big fluffy sweater on and then you start to sweat. And you feel that sweat in your closed up places. And you're like, oh no, I'm going to start stinking. And so what you do for the rest of the day, maybe you do this, maybe you don't, is you keep your armpits down. Like when people come around, you're like, don't raise them up. Like, sure, I can get that for you. I can reach that. You keep your arms down because there's some odor underneath in your armpits and you don't want it to get out. So you keep your arms down all the time. Some people are intelligent and wear deodorant. That's all right, I don't. I had a brother-in-law. When Chris and I were first married, he had a pair of boots that he gave me. He didn't ever wear them. They were nice leather boots. He never wore them. And he and I wore the same size, so he gave the boots to me. And I was really grateful and started wearing the boots. And it didn't take me long to realize that when I wore the boots and my feet got warm, the boots started to stink. Like coming from inside the boot was an odor. So I stopped wearing those boots and started wearing other shoes. And then I realized those other shoes started stinking too. And it didn't take me long to realize that my brother-in-law had athlete's foot, and he was kind enough to give it to me. And no matter what I wore, my feet would stink. It wasn't because the shoes were bad, it was because my feet were now infected with athlete's foot. And I am not kidding you, I can take you to the class where I was sitting with my one pair of shoes on. They were like Eastlands used to make them, but I didn't buy Eastlands, I bought Levi's because they were cheaper. But they're like dock shoes. I had those shoes on, and they had been infected with the stink. And I was in class, sitting there, you know, when you're bored, you start rocking, and then I just got this smell like, oh, no, that's me. And how it's 3 feet, like from my feet to my nose is 3 feet. And I was looking. I still remember this, not making this up. Who all is this within that same radius of me right now? So to keep my feet from wafting that smell around the room, I kept my feet up off the bottom of my shoes for the rest of the class because I didn't want them to continue to get hot. But if you put your feet down on your shoes like that, it kind of makes a bellows and it just keeps pushing this air out. So I kept my feet up off of my shoes during class so no one else would notice that I stink. And they probably did know that I stink because it was horrid. And that's when I decided I have to do something to fix this. So we did our reading and learning and found out the only way to fix that, because I had taken like baby powder and I tried to cover the scent up. You know, fill your shoes up with baby powder and then your feet get sweaty and then you have baby powder caked between your toes and then they start stinking anyway. And then I tried cologne. Had some nice Mary Kay cologne. Spray it in there. Maybe that'll, it doesn't. You just smell whatever and stink. And I tried the antifungal spray in the shoes. That didn't work either. So I'd been through this whole long list of try these things. The only way I could get rid of the smell was to get rid of all of my shoes. And we were in college, so I didn't have a whole lot of shoes, but I had some. But during the summer, instead of wearing shoes, I wore flip-flops, not my shoes. And I washed my feet in vinegar a few times. And guess what? After I got rid of the infected shoes and I washed my feet in vinegar, a cleansing agent, the smell was no longer on my feet. Some of you are already there. You're like, all right, Ben, got it. Sit down. Okay. We're going to read in 1 John chapter 1 today. That God doesn't want us just to cover up our stink. 1 John chapter 1, we're going to start in verse 5, where John says, "This is the message, or the good news, that we have heard from Him, God, and we have announced it to you, that God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with God, but still walk in the darkness, we lie. And we do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship," meaning we are joined with one another. "And the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we do not have sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us." I think there should be a but right here. "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous," or just, "to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." That's mighty powerful. Let's pray and then we're going to talk about it. God, I ask that You would continue to bring life to our lives, mine included. Take Your words and make them come alive in our lives. And it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. So here's what's happening in these verses. I'm just going to walk through them kind of quickly. So John has just talked about having fellowship. What he says, this is the message we've heard, that very first verse we read. He actually says before that, there is joy in being connected to God. There's joy in that. when you get out of darkness into light and you realize God wants to bring great things to my life, there's joy in that. And then John says, and this is the message we've brought to you, that he is light. And I'm going to point out a couple things here. It says that God is light, and in him is there is no darkness. He's using a metaphor. God is this big, bright light. When God is around, everything is exposed. You see things for what they really are. Nobody can hide. Darkness is the place in the Bible, as we read, sin happens in the dark because people can sneak around and be tricky. But when the light's on, like, who plays hide and seek with the lights on? Some people do. It's okay. It's a lot more fun in the dark. God has a light to see how things really are, so there's no tricking him. And it says, if we walk in the light with him, we will have fellowship with him. So if we have decided, instead of hiding in the corners away from God, if I decide I am going to come along with God and walk in the light, I will begin to experience what we call fellowship. Like, I will begin to understand him. He already knows me. But it'll all start to make sense. That's what John is saying here. And there is, unfortunately, sin in our lives. We have all been in this place of darkness. And he says, if we say that we haven't, then we're liars. John is saying, everybody has sin in their life. At some point, we have all been at the place where God wanted us to do this, we chose to do this. We've all been there. That's good news for some of us who think that we're the only ones who've ever been like really sinful people. Some people tell me they don't want to come to church because they'll feel uncomfortable, because they have things in their life they're ashamed of, and if they come to church, they will feel like they're the only one. Like, we're all good people who always do everything right, and they don't want to be around us because they don't always do everything right. The good news is, John points out, if we have convinced ourselves we always do everything right, and we always have, John says, you're a liar. Not meaning to be mean, he's just saying, that is false. I have at times chosen to disobey God. I'm exactly like the person who's too ashamed to come. I have at times ignored what God wants to do. It wasn't like real disobedience. I was just like, when your kids are talking and you pretend like you can't hear them because you don't want to answer them, that kind of thing. I've done that with God before too, which is disobedience. So if you've been at the point where you think, well, this is who I am, and God doesn't want to be around me, John reminds us that we have all been through that part of life. But if we're willing to step into the light with him, he has something good for us. And to kind of demonstrate what's going on, I have some of my deer hunting stuff. The bow's not mine. You may know I sold my bow. Josh brought it so it could be a helpful prop. Do you know I sold my bow and I don't even miss it? It's because I bought another rifle. So, we have some things. I think I need two. All right, two people. Soraya and Connor. Let's do that. We'll use Connor as the stink. And Soraya can be the... Okay. So here's what's going on. Yeah, you can come up here. These are the things that John is talking about in our lives. So, Colts football. You can come over here, Stan. We need everybody to be able to see you. Like, you face this way. Perfect. And you can look at him. It's not even Thanksgiving yet. Oh. Okay. So we are all like Connor. I have never hunted reindeer with mistletoe in their antlers. So here's Connor, just going through life, realizing that he has some odor. If you're a hunter, you know that the last thing you want on your body is chocolate amber. What's that right there say? Ode day. Toilet. last thing you want on your body as a hunter is toilet water, right? Because the deer will smell it. But unfortunately, can you hold this toilet water for me? Unfortunately, Connor has this condition. Right there. Can you let him have it? Right there. Now get close to him. It doesn't stink. He smells good. All right. Connor has this condition. Right. Whew. That's enough. It does smell good. That no matter where he goes, he has this scent under his arm now. It's stuck there. I promise you, buddy. You're going to smell good all day. Oh, my nose is plugged up. I smell that. So he has this scent on him. So Connor has this idea. First, what's a good way you can try to keep people from smelling that? We talked about it. Yeah, you just keep your arms down. He realizes that doesn't work because I can smell them already. So here's another plan. This is scent blocker. Do you know what this is? I just told you. Scent blocker. What do you think scent blocker does? Right, it blocks your scent. So Connor has this idea. No, she's going to help you out. Connor has this idea. You can hold that if you want. I think it's open. He does smell bad, but he's going to try to cover up this smell with something else. This blocker. It's there, but I want to prevent it from getting out. So he does something that he thinks might help it. Like, you know, those poor little commercials with all those puppies on it. Those puppies need. So Connor realizes maybe if I volunteer at the animal shelter and help those poor puppies, that'll be something good that'll kind of cover up this sin in my life. So he volunteers at the animal shelter. Give him a squirt.
Too much.
Okay. Still smell it. So that didn't quite work. He still has some of this lingering smell. So I know. Did she spray in your face?
Yeah.
It won't hurt you. So I know animals are important, but people are more important, and it's Thanksgiving. So maybe I should, if I volunteered at a food shelter, that would be something like, yeah, God will like that because that's like a God thing to volunteer at the food shelter. So maybe if I volunteer at the food shelter, that'll help take this smell away. Blast him again. All right. It's baking soda and peroxide and water. Yep, still there. So what Connor does is he does these things to try to cover up what's in his life. Now, is it bad to volunteer at the animal shelter?
No.
It's good, right? No. Is it good to volunteer at the food shelter, at the, what did I just call that?
Pantry.
Food pantry. Is that good to do? Okay, those are good things. And actually, God says, hey, you should be doing this. Connor's doing it to try to cover something up. It's not working, is it? No. I use this stuff when I hunt because sometimes I leave my clothes in the truck. A good hunter wouldn't leave their clothes just laying in the truck, but I do, and my truck reeks sometimes. I just leave them in there. So when I get out of the truck, I realize I smell like something, so I take this and try to cover it up. Well, there's an answer to that smell. Can you read this for me? Body and hair soap. Now this soap does something different than that blocker does. What do you think the difference between soap and blocker is?
Soap has bubbles.
Soap has bubbles. It does. Come by. Yeah, you wash the stuff off of your armpits. You're right, it does. It has bubbles. It's a true statement. So instead of covering up the scent under his armpits, that's like in his armpits now, he could take this soap and wash the scent off. But it's on his shirt too. So we don't see his armpits, right? But we see his shirt. And it's still on there. So I have this other stuff. Can you read that? laundry detergent. What do you think this does?
Makes
his clothes clean. That's a fact. So we've done two things. We have something that washes the smell off of our body. This is so good. I love this. I was like, thank you, Lord. Fantastic. Washes it off of our body and then washes it off of our external appearance. The things that we put on washes it off. Thanks. You're going to smell great. All the ladies will love it, man. It's the best. Thanks for your help.
Too much.
No, this is good stuff. You're welcome to have a seat. All right, you can have a seat. So here's what happens. We live in the dark sometimes and we try to hide these things that we're doing. And most of you already see where I'm going with this. That we put on these good things to cover up. And John says there's only one way to get that to go away, and that's to be cleansed. So here's the comparison. That body wash is like the time when I come and I say, God, I'm sorry, cleanse my heart. Like my desire, my attitude, please clean that. And that happens in an instant. God says, or I say, God, please forgive me for. And he says, you're forgiven. He says we need to confess our sins. And some people do that on a regular basis. What John says is really, I mean, literally, like, God, I am sorry for being arrogant. If I know that's my sin, I need to say, God, I am an arrogant person. And I am sorry. Please cleanse me of that. If I take advantage of people when I think they won't figure it out because I want to get ahead a little bit more, God, I am a selfish person and I am sorry for that. God, there are areas in my life that I've been hiding and nobody knows except that little computer that sits in my room, or just me and my girlfriend, or just me and nobody knows. But you know, and God, I am sorry. That's when we confess our sin. This is who I am. And the reason that's important is because it forces me to face who I really am. I can no longer pretend like, well, it's okay. When I said, Ben Muncy is a selfish jerk, there's no more pretending. So we confess our sin. And the way these verses really read, I don't read Greek, but I read people that read Greek. Here's, where did I put that? It's here. What it really says is, I remember anyway. So the verses, what they really say is if we confess our sins, like those specific things I was talking about, he forgives those sins and he continues to cleanse us from unrighteousness. Even the things that I can't remember that I did, he's going to forgive us for those too. That's very important. So what do we do with this? Well, my hope is that you can look at your own life and say, I am tired of trying to cover up the sin in my life. And maybe you've never robbed a bank. Maybe you don't cuss out your parents on a regular basis, just once a month. You know, you're not a real bad sinner. We have these things that we make excuses for, but you look at yourself, even in my own life, I can look at things in my life and I realize, that's not what God really wants for me. Why do I keep doing this? When I confront those and I say, God, here's an area in my life. It's not like I don't love you and I'm disobeying you, but it's not the plan you have for me. Will you forgive me for that? And will you cleanse me from this junk that's in my life, God says, yes, I have some body wash. I am going to instantly forgive you and make you clean. And then the second part of that verse is like the laundry soap. So these things that you put on your body, like the external things that we see, does my attitude instantly change the moment I come and say, God, I'm sorry, please forgive me? I didn't instantaneously become a kind, forgiving, loving, patient husband. I was still a big, fat jerk. But God started washing these areas of my life by, hey, Ben, that was mean what you just said. I was like, oh, great. Let's go clean it up. He begins to wash these areas. So don't think that you have to become perfect, but give God the chance to begin cleaning these areas of your life. And when people come around you, they're not going to be so focused on, oh my goodness, I can't believe you just said that. Because God is going to be working in your life, and I can't give you a perfect explanation of how it happens, but when your attitude changes, people notice. Like, two people can do the same stupid thing, but if one of them has a good attitude about it and the other one has a stinky attitude, they'll look at this person and say, well, he meant well and he's trying, so let's give him another chance. That's what God does for us. He changes our heart and begins to work on us. He cleanses us from this unrighteousness. It's kind of like a two-phase process. And if you have never come to the point where you said, God, I'm sorry, would you cleanse my heart? Would you change my desire so that it's focused on you? That can happen in a moment in time. Bam, God says you're forgiven. And if you've never done that, the good news is today can be your day. If you're somebody who has done that, but you still have these areas, you're like, God, I'm going to hang it over here, but can you fix this one? And then you come back like, that's not the way I want. God says, would you bring your whole life into the light and let me work on it? In the Nazarene church, and a lot of churches, they call this sanctification, where I commit my entire life to God. There's no area that's out of bounds for God. Everything is available for him. Would you keep cleaning me? If you're one of those people that says, yeah, I love God and he's forgiven me, but I still have some shadowy areas in my life that I just don't want to deal with yet, this can be a day where you say, I'm going to bring it all into the light and I'm going to let God start cleansing me. Beth and a few people are going to come up. We're going to sing this song at the end. It's called I Will Praise Him. Beth is not here right now. We can do this. This song is called I Will Praise Him. And it goes to these verses and it says what we've been talking about. God took the darkness and the shadows in my life and he cleansed me from them. And if you want to be one of those people that can say, on Thanksgiving Sunday, I ask God to have complete access to every area of my life. And all you need to do, he hears you right where you are. You can pray in your seat. It would just thrill me to pieces if you just let me know, like, hey, I made a decision to serve God today. If you want to come to the altar and pray here and say, this is where it happened, you can do that too. But we're going to sing through a few verses of this song called I Will Praise Him. And if you are able to stand, would you please?